And on the phone right now, we have Dr. Tyler Moore. Dr. Moore is assistant professor of computer science and engineering at Southern Methodist University down in Dallas. His research focuses on the economics of information security, the study of electronic crime, and the development of policy for strengthening security. He's also interested in the critical infrastructure protection and digital forensics. He directs a security economics lab within the HACNet, which is the High Assurance Computing and Networking Labs. Dr. Moore, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hi.
Nice to have you aboard. As I mentioned off air, Tyler, I hadn't even heard of cyber money, much less bitcoins, until I read an article in the Minneapolis paper and found your name in there. That sounds like something that's very much a part of your research following Bitcoin.
Indeed, yeah. So my background's in computer security, and a lot of the cryptographers dating back to the 1980s have been interested in coming up with ways to represent currencies using cryptography to guarantee the exclusivity of money. And there have been many proposals through the past couple of decades, and all flopped until Bitcoin was came about a few years ago. And for whatever reason, Bitcoin it has been more successful than any other currency that's been proposed before. It seems to have a lot of momentum and interest behind it.
I've spent a lot of years understanding sort of what money is. Now, I've only had a short time to try to figure out what cyber money or bitcoins are. Can you try to explain to people what they are and how they're created?
Sure. So unlike regular money, so maybe I'll start by talking about regular money. So the dollars that you have in your pocket have been issued by a central bank. So the U.S. Central Bank is the Federal Reserve Bank. And essentially that is a guarantee of money that's sort of backed by the full by the faith of the U.S. government, by the credibility of the U.S. government. A digital currency like Bitcoin doesn't have any such backing. And instead, what they do, they introduce Bitcoins, which are instead backed by a mathematical guarantee. And these coins, they don't actually have physical manifestations like we have with regular cash, you know, like dollar bills and this sort of thing. Instead, a Bitcoin is really just a record of a transaction from one original owner of the Bitcoin to the new recipient of that Bitcoin. The trick in making it work is that there needs to be a way to make sure that the Bitcoin that you receive is actually authentic. And so there's a fairly complicated protocol in place that allows anyone to verify the authenticity of the underlying Bitcoin.
Well, who creates the Bitcoins, and how do they get assigned value?
Okay, so Bitcoin currency was first sent out and described in a paper written by someone under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto, and who's believed to not be a real person. But what Satoshi Nakamoto proposed was a mechanism for representing these Bitcoins. And some enthusiastic programmers sort of latched onto this and made it a reality. And the curious thing about Bitcoin is that there you have to have this way of actually introducing new coins into circulation. So thinking back to the U.S. case, or in most traditional countries, you have cash, which gets issued by the central bank. So, you know, if Ben Bernanke decides that we need to apply another round of quantitative easing, what he's doing is actually inserting additional dollars into the money supply. In Bitcoin, this decision to introduce new Bitcoins is actually a predefined in the protocol to happen at regular intervals. So every 10 minutes, a new limited number of Bitcoins is introduced into circulation. And these are introduced by these participants in Bitcoin called Bitcoin miners. And these miners essentially solve a mathematical puzzle, which will, when that takes some effort, and once they solve that puzzle, the reward is these new Bitcoins that get introduced into circulation. So in this sense, you have monetary policy being set by the protocol itself, not by any central banker like you'd have in traditional financial systems.
Now, these people create these Bitcoins. Who owns them when they create them?
So the new Bitcoins that are introduced, they are owned by the miners. So what happens is there are some Bitcoins that sort of were initially pushed out into circulation, and then people who hold some of those Bitcoins can pay each other for those coins with the coins. But as they have these transactions back and forth, Alice sends money to Bob, who sends money to Charlie. As part of that process, the miners are always working in the background trying to solve this puzzle. And once they solve the puzzle, they can claim the newly minted coins for themselves. And so if you can show that you solve the puzzle, then you get the new coin. So that's one way to actually acquire coins. Now, unless you are going to want to put one of your computers that you have sort of lying in your basement to good use in mining for Bitcoin, the other way that you can actually get Bitcoins is to go online to one of these Bitcoin currency exchanges who will accept as payment dollars or euros or other hard currencies, and they will give you an equivalent number of coins based upon whatever the market exchange rate is. So right now, for example, it's around 80 U.S. dollars for one Bitcoin. And so if you go to a web exchange such as Mt. Gox, mtgox.com, you put in your credit card details, give them, $400, and they will give you 5 Bitcoins in return. So that's sort of the practical way that you or I could go out and acquire some Bitcoins today.
Why would we want to?
That is a fair question. Why would we want to? Particularly if, we already have, a perfectly functioning currency, U.S. dollar. Well, one reason why you might want to is that there are certainly some people who don't view the U.S. dollar as a perfectly functioning currency. People who worry about inflation in particular. I referred back to, our central bank, Federal Reserve, who has these adopted policies of trying to introduce lots of new dollars into circulation. This arises fears of inflation among people who already save a lot of money. And so they're worried that their holdings will get devalued. So for them, Bitcoin is a nice alternative because you have this fancy mathematics protecting the rate at which new coins are introduced into the currency. So you have this mathematically protected inflation hedge that you can't necessarily get in other currencies. So that's one thing that's attracted a lot of people. For people who aren't so interested in monetary policy, Bitcoin still has some appeal. There are many merchants who don't like the high fees that they have to pay with traditional payment systems, so the high fees that are charged by credit card companies and credit card processors, particularly on international transactions. So if you have somebody who runs a shop, they have a website, and they want to accept payments right now from overseas, they end up having to pay a very high transaction fee to make that happen. Bitcoin offers the promise of being able to accept those transactions but with a much lower added cost. So that's one of the other factors driving adoption.
We're speaking with Dr. Tyler Moore, and Dr. Moore is the Assistant Professor of Computer Sciences and Engineering at SMU down in Dallas. We're talking about Bitcoin, which is a foreign subject to me that I'm catching on a little bit here, but it's still a little confusing. How safe is it? You say it's not backed by the U.S. government or any other government. It's created by some people that we don't have a clue who they are. How safe is it to put your money into something like Bitcoins?
Well, listen to the proponents of Bitcoin; they would say it's very safe. But in my investigations and my research, I'm not so convinced. I think there are several substantial risks to using Bitcoin. The primary risk is the highly fluctuating exchange rate. So, less than a year ago, the exchange rate was, fairly stable, hovering around $10 to $15 per single Bitcoin. Then, beginning in the spring, the exchange rate shot up. It shot up to reaching $260 for a single Bitcoin, and it got lots of media attention. And then it all sort of collapsed back down, and now it's sort of hovering around $80. So there's certainly huge risk to anyone who buys Bitcoin, and that it could be worth considerably more or less than when you initially buy it. So it's far more volatile than other currencies. So that's your first risk. The second risk is that it's not backed by any government, as you say, and unlike traditional payments, like a credit card payment, those payments are typically revocable. So if you if you buy something online and the merchant turns out to be fraudulent, you can always dispute that transaction with your credit card company. With Bitcoin, once you've made the transaction, they're to dispute with. So if it turns out you've been defrauded, there's really no recourse. So I think that is a huge concern for potential Bitcoin consumers as well. The final risk, which is where I've spent a lot of my research, is to looking at these currency exchanges themselves. So there have been around 40 different currency exchanges that have been set up since 2010 when Bitcoin was founded. So these are places you can go to turn your dollars into Bitcoin. And from studies, around almost half of them have subsequently shut down since they were started. So customers of those exchanges are at great risk that in the meantime, the money that they have stored at the exchange could then be lost to them if the exchange were to suddenly go belly up. So all in all, while Bitcoin is fascinating to study, I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable recommending any of your listeners to go out and invest in Bitcoin as a great investment opportunity.
Let's say that I was half asleep when you said what the information that you've just given us, and I said, "Well, hey, I'd like to buy a bunch of Bitcoin, and I could use them to for most of my transactions." What would be my first step? Where would I go?
So, what you can do if you decide you like the idea of using Bitcoin, what I would suggest is you go to one of the Bitcoin exchanges, and the biggest Bitcoin exchange is Mt. Gox, mtgox.com. If you go to the website, then they have a pretty user-friendly interface where you can sign up for an account and you can buy any corresponding Bitcoin. So that's probably step one. Step two is then you have to know the people who, once you have the Bitcoin, will accept them. So is a little bit harder, but there are some websites which will accept Bitcoin as payment. So if you find one of those, then you can use it.
So it's pretty limited, really, as far as purchasing at this point in the life of Bitcoin.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a challenge that if you're wanting to use Bitcoin to spend money, as a form of payment for other services and services. There are a few high profile choices, but for the most part, there's the online dating service OkCupid, for example, recently started accepting Bitcoin. There are several small merchants that have begun accepting it. So whenever you go to buy something online, you can see if whether it's accepted, just like Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. But most of the people who hold Bitcoin now aren't using it as something to buy a good or a service. Instead, what they're using it is as an investment opportunity, like you might buy gold or stocks or this sort of thing. So there are people who will buy the Bitcoin believing that the currency exchange rate is going to just keep rising. This is not what the currency is intended for, but in practice, this seems to be it's one of its most popular uses. Now, there's some serious dangers in doing that, one, not least of which is that currency fluctuations are extremely volatile. And, there's no guarantee you won't lose all of your money. So it's something I would certainly caution anyone who wanted to do that. They really should think twice before doing so.
Well, I kind of think I'm going to keep my money in the can I got buried in the backyard.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. I personally don't hold any Bitcoin because I think the risks are just a bit too great at the moment. I mean, I do think that whether or not Bitcoin succeeds, there is a bright future ahead for digital currencies in general. If Bitcoin's not the one to succeed, maybe another one that comes along can do, because there really could be a benefit to introducing more competition into our payment systems. The amount of money that merchants and consumers have to pay for online transactions is pretty substantial, and so I think there's certainly room for some competition there. I just don't know that Bitcoin is the answer that we need today.
We've been speaking with Dr. Tyler Moore, and Dr. Moore is the Assistant Professor of Computer Science and Engineering at Southern Methodist University down in Dallas. Dr. Moore, can you tell folks where they might find more information if they're interested in Bitcoin, and they a little more gutsy than I am?
Well, I mean, the best thing you can do is go to different websites. There's bitcoin.org, which has descriptions of Bitcoin. There's bitcoincharts.com as well. I think if you're interested, the best thing you can do is just go to your search engine of choice and search for Bitcoin there.
Great. Well, Dr. Moore, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and kind of getting that information out there for discussion. It's interesting. I'm not happy with paying 2.5% every time I use my credit card, and a lot of folks aren't either. So we're happy to learn about new ideas. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me.